All right, folks, we've been lighting these candles on this Advent wreath. Of course, we started out with hope, and then peace, and then joy was last week. And today, we're going to be talking about love. And in reality, isn't that really what Christmas is all about? God showing His love for all of us. You ever heard the old story about the two farmers? They'd been neighbors for many years, and they were kind of on the outs. Matter of fact, they went for quite a long time, years really, without speaking to each other. And it all started because of a cat, because of a stray cat. What happened was is that this cat came around, and both farmers began feeding it. And then like anybody would, that they kind of felt like that the cat was theirs, only they each thought that the cat was theirs. And they resented the other because they claimed the cat as theirs as well. Well, what started as a disagreement over this cat and the ownership of the cat, it went downhill from there. And they quit talking. The grudge escalated to the point that they would snub one another in public. They would say very snide and ill-timed remarks to each other when they saw each other. And it got to the point that the one farmer decided that he didn't want to be neighbors anymore. And he dug a trench down the between the border between their two farms, and he had it flooded with water so that the other farmer would not be able to walk across this stream onto his property. Well, the other farmer saw that, and he said, "Well, I'll show him." And one day, this carpenter was coming through town, and he asked the carpenter. He said, "Could you build me a wall?" He said, "I want a giant high fence that you can't even see through to go all the way around my property. I don't even want to see that old fellow over there." And the farmer said, or the carpenter said, "Yes, I can do that." He said, "You know, I'll need to go into town and buy a lot more lumber." And he said, "Go ahead and do it." And so the farmer went into town and he bought the lumber, and he came back on the farm and he began erecting this giant fence, this giant fence between these two feuding neighbors. Now the neighbor had to go out of town for a period of time, and when he came back, he couldn't wait to come up over the crest of the hill and see his brand new fence so that he would never have to look at his neighbor again. And as he came up over the hill, there was no fence. And then he looked very closely and he noticed that the carpenter had not built a fence, but he had instead built a bridge across the stream that his neighbor had put down through the property. And as he walked out to inspect this bridge, he looked over and he caught sight of his neighbor. And he said at that time, because it was Christmas, something came over him and he decided to walk over the bridge. And he did. And his neighbor came out to meet him. And before he could say anything about the bridge, his neighbor said, "You know what? This has all been my fault. I'm sorry I started all this. And, you know, this is not the way neighbors should treat one another." And the other neighbor said, "You know what? No, it was my fault. I was the one that started this." And all of a sudden, they found themselves shaking hands and loving and caring about each other again. Folks, that's the story of Christmas. That we have erected this great obstacle between us and God, and God takes it upon Himself that even while we were sinners, He came down and to live among us and to bridge this gap of separation between us and Him. Folks, you and I, we come to celebrate Christmas today, and we light this candle of love, knowing that that's what Advent is all about. Not about anything other than God coming down and loving us. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at different people in the nativity story. Today, I would like to do it a little bit different, and I would like to just take a look at everyone in that first nativity story. We have Zechariah, and we have Elizabeth. We have Mary and Joseph. Think about it. We have the old and the young. God, at different times, speaking to these two families about what He was going to do, about the fulfillment of this promise of the Messiah and of this new spiritual future that we have in Him. The separation caused by sin, the separation of death is now in the past, and we have been restored not only into a loving relationship with Him, but into a life that will never end. We see the shepherds and the angels, the beings of earth and heaven, the physical and the spiritual. And as they head to the stable, there are animals as well as humans, the beings of creation. And here we can look at Matthew's Christmas account as we meet the Magi, those mysterious visitors from the east. Now, we're not entirely sure exactly who they were. And I think that's just simply because it's not so important who they were, but who they came to worship. Now, we do know that they were holy men of some sort. They belonged to some mystical tradition. They knew something about the Jewish leaders' structure, and they could contrast the spiritual Jewish leaders of that day and what they would experience in their homeland. But these cast of characters that surround the story of Christmas are so varied. They are the creatures of old and young. They're the creatures of heaven and earth. There are even those that come from a far, far away land to recognize the love that came down that first Christmas. And you know what, folks? As I read this, and as I think about this, it is amazing what God teaches us and what He reveals to us at this particular time. Let me show you just a few of these things this morning. Here, look at this first idea that comes from this Christmas story and all these folks as they talk about this what I want to call fearless love. You know, you're talking about a bridge being built, and there was actually a song many years ago called Fearless Love. And it was what extent that would love would go to show love. Now think about that, folks. So many of us, we have grudges. We have things that divide us. We have barriers that we've built up. But yet when you think about Christmas and what God has done at Christmas time, His undeniable, fearless love comes to us and loves us even though we are not lovely. Here, let me share some things with you that'll show you that. You know, when you think about how the love of Christ is embodied, or to say it another way, here, take a look at this, because this is really interesting. This first point is going to come up. There it is. Think about this. Could Jesus have united any more divisions simply by being born? Think about it. He covered them all. He covered the shepherds out in the field, the lowly of the lowest. He covered the Magi, the Majestic, the kings, and the queens. He covered the angelic beings that came singing of His glory and of His wonder. He covered the old with Simeon and Anna and Elizabeth and Zechariah. He covered the young and carefree as with Joseph and Mary. You see, here's the thing, folks. Whatever divisions we see in life, God can bridge that gap. He can help us to build a bridge where so many people have built a fence or a trench. The Bible talks about love in so many places. God is love, and the Bible is His love story to all of us. Matter of fact, from the very beginning of creation to the very end, when God ushers in eternity in the New Jerusalem, it's all about loving God in His presence for all of eternity. Through generations and generations, He worked His plans and He promised a Messiah. And what we have here today is our understanding of simply that great love. Listen to these words from 1 John chapter 4 in verse number 17. Here's what he says. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world." That's Christmas. "That we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." That's Easter. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." John tells us that God is love. That God personifies love. Love is His nature. We see that by His sending of Jesus and by His promises that He's going to be with us through our lives, whatever we encounter along the way. And here's the thing, folks, that love fills us, but that love also fuels us. That love fills us and it causes us to respond in love, but that love also fuels us so that we will respond in the kind of love that God is calling us to show. You know, not only does it define us, but it also propels us. You know, Jesus brought about this reconnection, this restoration to love, and we just want to be around Him and we want to show that love to others. He tells us in John 13:34, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another." Jesus shows us love, and then Jesus teaches us to love. And here's the most important part. How will people know that we are His followers? By love. By seeing His love in us and by seeing us respond to others in that same kind of love. By the love they show to other people. You've heard this before. How will people know we are Christians? By our love. Love is what defines us. Love is what propels us. But you know what? Let's face it. Sometimes the church hasn't always done the greatest job at loving like this. We don't always love the way He wants us to. We find ourselves in a position where we so easily point our finger at some petty thing in someone else's life, and we ignore these tremendous sins and disobedience in our own lives. Jesus said, How can you point out the speck in your brother's eye when you have a log, when you have a beam in your own eye? You see, we can probably do better at that. We must look at ourselves in the mirror and know that none of us are perfect. And that as a collective church and body, that we can do so much better in showing and being this kind of role model of love. Because that brings me to the third thing here. Because this love should empower us to be able to cross the borders, to bridge the gap, to go beyond the things that divide us. We should be able to allow God and His love to give us the power and the willingness to do just that. Now, folks, I know that I don't have to describe too very much to describe the divisiveness that we have in our culture today, even in our nation today, even in our families today. I spoke recently to a young man that had lost his father, and I expressed my sympathy, and he said, "Oh, me and my dad, we haven't talked in over 15 years. And he's gone." Listen, folks, before this life is over, let's ask God to give us the strength to bridge those gaps, to cross that bridge, to tear down those walls that divide us, and to love and care about each and every person as God cares about us. You know, Jesus' teaching was so radical. It was Jesus that actually said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You see, Jesus didn't only tear down walls of division at His birth. He continuously reached out across those walls, across that divide, His entire ministry. He's in Samaria blessing the life of a Samaritan woman when everybody else was saying He should not only not be there, He certainly shouldn't even be talking to those people, those less than savage people. But that wasn't Jesus. You know, where people were discriminating against women in His day, Jesus would speak to a woman who was about to be stoned for committing adultery, and he would say, "You who without sin, you cast the first stone." He would offer grace and mercy and forgiveness to her. Jesus was all about inclusion. Jesus was not one that overlooked the sin of people. But the sin of people never made Him not love them fiercely, with an unconditional love. Of course, the greatest example of this is the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, he was robbed, he was beaten, he was left for dead. A priest came along. What did he do? He crossed on the other side when he saw the man in the shape that he was in. And then you had a Samaritan come by who bandaged the wounds of the man, who put him on his donkey, who delivered him to an inn, who paid the innkeeper not only for his care, but for future care. And then Jesus said, "Who do you think was the real neighbor of this man? Who was the real neighbor who cared about this man? It was the Samaritan. It was the very one that showed grace and mercy above and beyond what the world thought was necessary. Folks, I think that that is what Christmas is all about. And you know what, folks? When we understand that that's the message of Christmas, yes, it's about hope. Yes, it's about peace. Yes, it's about joy. But it's really about wrapping all of those up and experiencing the love of Christ. That's what we need to see and experience this Christmas. You know, when I was a youngster, I never understood, ever, my mother's adage, because every year we'd say, "Mom, what would you like for Christmas?" And she'd say, "Oh, sweetheart, I don't want anything. I don't need a thing. All I want is to be able to get together with you guys and love and care about, you know." And I used to think to myself as a young boy, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, I mean, you've got a chance to tell these people something that you'd really like, and most likely they're going to get it for you. They're going to buy it for you. All you have to do is say it. But she almost never would. You know, we would always buy my mother every Christmas. We would buy her a real nice pajama set. You know, warm pajama bottoms, pajama top. And when my mother passed away, we literally found a drawer full of those things that she had never opened nor worn. You know why? Because we always thought that Christmas was about getting something that the person wants or something that the person needs. If we would have just listened to her when she said, "Oh, all I care about is just spending Christmas with all of you." And in reality, when I was a kid, I could have said that, but I wouldn't have meant it. And I would have been ticked off the entire holiday season if somebody would have done that for me. But you do get to a point in life, don't you, when you realize that it's not really about what you get. It's about what you give, and it's about what you receive. What you receive, not in material things, but in the true gift of Christmas, which is what? Love. And if we get that this Christmas from Him, and if we give that this Christmas to others, we will make Him very happy this holiday. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for this wonderful morning. Lord, what a great morning to celebrate, Lord, the coming of our King, our Savior, Lord, our friend, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Lord, the joy of showing love and affection to Claire this morning and what she means to all of us. What a joy. God, what a joy to gather around Your table to remember You, to partake of this loaf and this cup, which shows us again, Lord, that great love. Sing, Lord, about that great love and the joy that we have in knowing You. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us all to recommit to not only being a recipient of that love at Christmas, but also, Lord, being a bridge of that love to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.